Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nuhu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. And this morning, I would want for you, as is our tradition, to stand for the reading of the Word. Hallelujah. And this morning, reading of the Word is going to be short, direct, and precise. Psalms chapter 23, verse 5. Psalms chapter 23, verse 5. Media, if you have that in the King James Version, okay, you say decided to give me new King James, it's okay, not a problem. Amen. Let us read together as a church. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this auspicious moment where you unveil your words to us in the entirety of its potency, bringing us to the place of understanding, of knowledge, that we may function in grace and in wisdom. Let your name alone be exalted in the magnificent name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. God bless you all. And this morning, as we begin to bring a wrap to the conversations that all of these powerful men of God have been elucidating, teaching, exposing, expounding incisively in the course of the month, which is the fresh oil, I'm just going to lend my 5 cents to that conversation. Hallelujah. I was telling Pastor Emeka that I escaped the table. God help me this morning. And I landed in the anointing. And as I contemplate that scripture, three very critical aspects of it begin to form the basis of my analysis. Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. I want for that to resonate with you for a moment. I want for you to introspectively digest that powerful statement. Thou anointest my head with oil. There are three critical items that you find in that one portion of scripture. Number one is the thou, and I will take it for scriptural emphasis that is referring to the Most High God, to the one who sits in his thrones in the heavens, the one who the cherubims and the seraphims continually fly about, the 24 elders bow before him, crying, "Holy, the I am that I am, the creator of all things, the Lord God." That is the thou. Anointest is his impartation upon a human element, the capacity to function over and above the normal. And the head is my own. So if there is an intention for that process with God, to to bring me to a certain set of results. And those set of results are not coming through. The expectations are not happening. As an analytical person, my duty will be to fall back to all of these critical elements to try to figure out where is the item in that equation that is most likely at fault. If my life is not getting the results that it ought to, if my journey is not presenting to me all of the things that I had hoped for, prayed for, expected, and generally assumed will be aligned in my path, and I go back and I say, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Which one of these elements is not functional? And brethren, you will agree with me that it cannot be the Thou. It cannot be the Lord that is not working well. He is infallible. In fact, so infallible that the heavens and the earth may pass away, but not a jot or a tittle from his word will by any means fall to the ground. So the Lord cannot fail. He is not a man. The anointing, can it fail? Absolutely not. The thing that has proceeded from the creator of all things as an impartational ability also cannot fail. So where does the possibility of failure lie? My head. Hallelujah. My head. You know, the head is very important. For those of you that are Igbo, we lay a lot of emphasis on the EC. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you are going to get married, the first thing in Igbo traditional philosophical requirements by tradition is Ekwola Ogwo Isia. Hallelujah. If you wake up one morning and your words are not aligning with normal human conversation, we will ask you, Isi or Dekwage Mma? Isi, the head. If there is a person that you have elevated to the place of reverential importance, you will refer to that individual as Onyisi. Onyisi Ndewo. Onyisi. And when some people want to scam you, Onyisi. No choice. I see. I'm not usually like this. I'm usually very corporate. I hold the grass responsible. Onyisi, Bonyisi. Now, the matter of headship is literally of absolute importance. So important that there is no human institution that functions or that can function creditably well, productively well, if there is no headship. And so in the house, the man becomes the head of, let me not go into controversial areas now. Just, he's the head. Let's just agree he's the head. Amen. In fact, headship is so particular that if you gather a bunch of boys or girls, for that matter, and you do not define for them any leadership structure, It is only a question of time. They will eventually, either by conscious decision or by meritorious elevation or by forceful bully, somebody will become the head. Naturally, and now become the head of the gang. Amen. Leadership is so contested that across the globe, in every geographical contraption called a country, the contest for who becomes the head of that state, whether they call it prime minister, they call it president, by whatever appellation, whoever becomes that head becomes a hotly contested process. Try contesting for president of Nigeria. We like this will go and exhume your secondary school certificates, and we will see that you failed mathematics, English, and Igbo language. But when you were just a normal human being pursuing your daily business, we didn't bother about you. But as soon as you begin to contest for the headship, the light beams on you. And it's the same thing globally. Same is true for Nigeria. Same is true for the United States. Same is true. In fact, it is so powerful that even in the Global Committee of Nations, there are global leaders. Amen? There are nations who, when they speak, the rest catch cold. So if I were the head of a particular country, if I wake up and announce 10% tariff, I just announced it, your economy begins to shiver. Amen? That is power. If I want to have a meeting with you, I just arrive as I'm strolling out of the beast. Two B2 bombers will just fly past so that you feel the power of my headship. Mat Alekaya. Nigeria does not know where they manufacture B2. Talk less of fly one. No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that there are some people that have that capacity. Hallelujah. God bless Nigeria. So even in the Global Committee of Nations, there is headship. It is not a vacuum. Now, let us extrapolate all of those contemplations to you as an individual. Why would it be that the psalmist, and note it, David, in writing those psalms, he was not making a prayer. It wasn't a wish. It wasn't an expectant contemplation. He was speaking experientially. And he said, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Why didn't the Lord anoint his hands? So he could work better. Or anoint his knees so he could kneel longer in the place of prayer. Or anoint his mouth so that he can, as soon as he speaks, you agree. Why didn't he anoint his belly so that he can eat everything possible? You know, you get to... Growing up is not easy. You know, when you're small, when you're little, when you're just growing up, there are some of those things you see that you cannot afford to eat. Amen. Let's say, for instance, ice cream. Hallelujah. And you'll be dreaming, when I start making my money, this ice cream, ice cream will become me, I'll become ice cream. Then the funny thing happens. You now grow up, you now have money, you see ice cream, you run. Even when you choose to be eating it, some people here call you and say, you need to watch this thing. You need to watch it. You need to watch it. Your tummy is... Hey, my daughter looked at me this last month and said, "Daddy, your tummy is becoming..." Say, I want to make sure to get there. So everyone, you want to eat all of that, you cannot. So what, you know, some of you would wish that the Lord will anoint your stomach with oil. Forgive me, that's how the Bible makes sense to me. And my sense and your own sense is not the same. So just permit my own sense. And thou anointest my stomach with oil so that I can eat nkwobi in the morning, apple and ofoha in the afternoon. Sometime in the evening, you now try pounded yam with ofe nsala. And you just do a dessert of Greek yogurt with toppings. Matalayaba. Thou anointest my stomach. Hey, and there are situations you'll be in. You say, Lord, thou anointest my finger with slap. There are some people you want to slap with anointing. Left to you, there are other parts of you that you would have wanted the Lord to anoint. Amen? You would have wanted the Lord to anoint your eyes so that there are some of these wicked people you just blink, they fall. Just be doing fall and die. But scripture says, by David's experience, that thou anointest my head. And the question is why? Now, I'll take you back briefly. We don't have time to read some other scripture. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, David, after having become king, fought and won plenty battles, had settled into the prosperous part of his reign, sat back one day and called the prophet Nathan. And he said to the prophet Nathan, I have made it. I now dwell in a palatial home built with cedar. I now have peace round and about. However, I have a worry. And my worry is that the ark of the Lord still abides with no proper domiciliation. It is not properly housed. And he said, I have an intention to build a house for the Lord. And in that particular instance, the prophet Nathan looked David in the eye and he said to him, my king, live long. By every means, you have my prophetic unction backing this your proposal. Go ahead and build a house. However, that night, as the prophet Nathan went back home, the Lord woke him up, said, man of God, we need to have a conversation. You need, see that thing you told David? We're going to change it. And let me help you here. Now, was he wrong in the thing that he said? Absolutely not. He spoke according to the immediate revelation available to him. You need to understand this critical thing with God. Now, the thing that was proper and fit by way of a revelation in a particular dispensation of time may not be in another. I'll give you another scriptural instance. And so the serpents were striking the people in the wilderness as they were transiting from Egypt to the promised land. And they were dying in their droves. And they looked up to the Lord and said, deliver us from this evil. And the Lord said to them, set up a bronze serpent so that he that looketh upon it may live. Up to today, that still remains the insignia of medical practice, okay? That is the serpent on the rod. Now, if you read scripture carefully, down the line, now, at that point in time, that revelation was powerful. That revelation was life-saving. That revelation was potent. But as time proceeded, they perverted the need of that serpent, Anpu, and they now named it Nehushtan. And they began to worship it. And it became the same thing that was a blessing in another dispensation by the revelation of that moment became a curse when purpose was perverted and it was used outside of purpose. Now, what is the point? Scripture says they that are led, not they that were led yesterday, those that are continually led by the Spirit of the Lord, these are the sons of God. Because in the sovereignty of God, he can choose to do anything at any time. You can't box him into one small. He can tell Joseph, the son that I've brought to you, I'm going to protect him. Then he wakes up one day and say, carry the child and run. If it were you, say, Baba God, how far? You mean you can't protect us from just Herod? If the Lord says run, run first. Hallelujah. You get why? Now he gets to Egypt, and at a time again, he said, Herod is dead. Take the child, return back to Bethlehem. God gives instructions as he seems fit, as he deems fit in his prerogative of sovereignty part time. Learn how to continually listen to God. So the prophet went back that night. And the Lord said to him, we're going to change this instruction. Go back to David, tell him this. Number one, you were nobody, and I brought you from the bad places, and I made you king. I fought your battles, I defeated your enemies, front, back, left, right, center. I have made you king. I know you want to build a house for me, but you will not build it. I say, you will not build it. You will not. However, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And that covenant is to the effect that the anointing I have put on your head is going to have a transgenerational consequence. In other words, I'm going to respect this covenant that we have by the anointing through the instrumentality of mercy, to the effect that your sons will continually sit on the throne of Israel forever. And it was from that sure mercies of David that Jesus came. We're going somewhere. Now, 1,000 years later, in the family of a certain man called Timaeus, with two varying translations. A man of honor, highly esteemed, or a man of darkness. It had a dual meaning. And born to them was a son, and they named him Bartimaeus. And when that little boy was 5 years old, he became blind, and he remained blind until a certain day he heard, because he could not see, that Jesus was passing. Now, there are people in that situation that would have said, if I could only see this Jesus, if only I could see and see this Jesus, it gets something where for one may we talk. He couldn't see, he heard, and the hearing was enough for him to take action. What is my point? However bad, despondent the situation is, there is something that is within your control that is the key to your deliverance. You may not see, but you can hear. You may not be good with words, but you can understand. Your feet may not be fast and swift in the race, but your hands can do something. Whichever way, let me announce to you that the Lord will always leave you with a rod in your hand. And when destiny shows up, he'll ask you, what is in your hands? There must be something, no matter how despondent your situation is, that the Lord has divinely set up to be your connecting rod to your deliverance. Hallelujah. So he heard, and blind Bartimaeus began to shout and say to them, Jesus, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the people around say, bro, lower the volume. Just lower the volume small. Jesus is around, but not for people like you. He gets people where Jesus show up for. The high and the polished people who function in the corridors of power. Say, lower the volume. Don't let your neighbor's disposition stop you in your pursuit of your miracle. My story is not your story. My story may not require me shouting, but if your own requires you shouting, don't follow my style. Shout. By every means, shout. There is no formula to entering the purpose of God. Your journey is different from mine. Don't adopt my modus operandi. They said, keep quiet, Bartimaeus. As they were saying, lower the volume, the man was increasing it. I love the guy. Tenacity. Commitment to purpose. Focus. But we're coming there. What was the thing that blind Bartimaeus understood that kept propelling him? You see, you need to see what he was shouting to locate it back to the anointing, back to the head, and back to his miracle. Said, Jesus, thou son of David. In other words, he was recognizing the authority that had transited more than 1,000 years to become flesh. And the word became flesh. And we beheld his glory, like the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. And blind Bartimaeus said, this is the authority they prophesied about. There is no way I will encounter him. See, in dealing with Jesus, you must recognize the timeless power that he is. It doesn't matter what social media says, what the woke society thinks, what New Age believes. Jesus is timeless power. And every time that you connect to that power, he brings results. He changes circumstances. He changes stories. Blind Bartimaeus also invoked that covenant of mercy. Said, Jesus, thou son of David, have. Immediately Jesus heard, have mercy. He stopped. Said, who is that man? Bring him to me. As we continue this conversation, let me flip you back to the headship. There are three critical things that the anointing on your head is meant to do. Number one is authority. You see, for the anointing to function on the head, I'm still coming back to blind Bartimaeus. Just follow my trend of complicated thought. For the anointing on your head to be fully functional, you need to understand that you are a being who by design was meant to function in authority. And so in Genesis, the Lord said, let us make man in our own image. But this is the more important thing, say, let them have dominion. In other words, let them have authority. In other words, there is no way you were designed as a mortal with the Spirit of God to function in this realm of life without authority. That is why Proverbs will say that a man in authority that knows it not is like the beast of the field. That is your scripture, not mine. So, the anointing in the first instance is meant to bring you back to the place of not just the realization, but the active potency of your authority in God. The anointing is not for the show. It's not for the display. It is not for, it's not for, they need to know I am anointed. Makalekaya. I just look at you, sister, you fall from your seat. That's not the primary purpose of the anointing. At an individual micro level, the anointing is meant to restore you to the place of authority. Because the world, as it is constituted, only responds to authority. And so the seven sons of Sceva, they went around and they were casting out demons. And one day, they met a particular one. Now, he was a demoniac, but he had a particular type of skoi-skoi. It was different. And when they met him, they began to reel out the profile of authorities that they respond to. And he said, and they said to him, or to them, there were seven of them, Jesus, we know, he is an authority we respect. We also know another Paul. He's an authority that we respond to. But you, we have checked on the radar. You're not bleeping. No power. No authority. Forgive my use of words. Who the hell are you? You know, they were mad people, so there's no way they would have been speaking with fine English. They wouldn't have been saying, now we have profiled all of our databases, and we are unable, unfortunately, to locate where you exactly you function in the grid of power. And so, shush, just get away from us. That madman looked them in the face, say, if them born in our way, make una come here. Say, because Jesus, we know his authority. Paul, we know his authority. You, who the hell are you? And as potent as that question is, it is still relevant today. Life will continually ask you, who are you? Who the hell are you? Every day, life will question you. If it doesn't question you tomorrow, it will question you today or yesterday. It will question you next year. But take it from me. I've lived long enough to know that life will question you, who you be. One of the functions of the anointing is to restore you to the place of God-given authority where you answer very emphatically and say, I am a God. Because Jesus said to them, know ye not that ye are gods. Where you respond to life and say, I am a son of the creator of the heavens and the earth. Thou anointest my head with oil. I come into the place of the full realization of my authority. That's the only way, child of God, that you will live. Not just survive, live, thrive, and have dominion. It's by a recognition that you are a being designed to function in authority. And you actually recognize and wield that authority. Number two, thing that the anointing is meant to do to your head is to activate your leadership. Leadership. Now, leadership is a function of sight. Because what leadership does is that it takes the front row, having seen where you are going, and says, follow me because I know where I am going. And Jesus said, I go, I lead the way to my Father and your Father. For I have been in my Father's house, and I can tell you without any iota of doubt, without any contradiction, that in my Father's house there are many mansions. There are things you cannot say or do as a leader when you have not seen, experienced, handled, touched it. Leadership is a function of vision, that you're able to see the road clearly. That is why I would still advise you, follow who know road. Now, blind Bartimaeus, understanding that his life can only achieve so much until he's able to see, said to himself, whatever it is going to take me, if it is going to take me shouting over people, running on top of people, I must see. Because if I cannot see, whether physically or metaphorically, I cannot lead my life. So as you sit here, have you seen your life in 5 years' time? Have you seen your life in 10 years' time? Within the realms of what is possible under God, can you emphatically say, this is what I will be doing, where I'll be doing, how I'll be doing it? And unfortunately, God actually requires it of you, because God says by scripture that he is the one who brings to pass the expectations of the righteous. So where your head has no expectation, the anointing or the lack of it on it, without leadership and vision, you will crash. You need to know where you're going to, how you are going there, with who you are going there, with who you are going there. There is a distance that you can go with the 70. Jesus went a distance with the 70. There's a distance you can go with the 12. There are the 12 that went with Jesus. And there's a distance you can only go with the 3. And it was only Peter, James, and John that showed up with him on the Garden of Gethsemane. And there's a distance that only you can go. He left them there and went. See, so everybody that can accompany you on every step of your journey. And I don't care whether the person is your husband or your wife, or there are things you're going to go through, nobody is going to help you except you. Mm-hmm. If it happened to Jesus, oh yeah, sister is gone. I know you have a bestie, Mark. My manchi of life. Bro. There's only a limit they can go. There's only a limit that their anointing by design can carry them. When it gets to that point, even if they want to go further, they will be compelled to stop, because only you will go further. And at that point, it is your self-navigating leadership that will carry you further. And so David, after he came back and he came to Ziklag and he was destitute, the wives and the children had been taken away, his own men began to stone him. And David went by himself. Scripture said he encouraged himself in the Lord. That is self-leadership. He didn't wait for one pastor to begin to pray over him and begin to prophesy. Makaleke zeke, David, I say unto you. No, David said unto himself, you need to get to that place where you preach to yourself. That's leadership. That's the thing that the anointing does to you. David went in, he took the effort, and he spoke to the Lord directly. And he said, should I pursue? And the Lord said to him, you're asking for little. Surely pursue, but you will overtake. And after you have overtaken, said, take spoils. There are certain revelations you cannot get in the crowd. You may hear pursue, but it takes being in the closet to hear you will overtake. It takes being in the closet to generate the anointing required to take spoils. And if you're not taking spoils, you're wasting your Christian anointing. The third, which I'm going to talk about in my remaining 2 minutes. I've talked about authority. I've talked about leadership. I'm going to talk about responsibility. Now, blind Bartimaeus, because in her day, for the matter, when Jesus asked him, bring him to me, what will thou that I do for you? The guy had enough leadership, self-consciousness to locate his primary need of the time, which was to see. I mean, he could have asked Jesus, which could have happened in this day. Blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And he would have said, Lord, if you can only marry me one wife. Have you seen people like that? They are blind. Situation is terrible. Amen? But the priority is, Lord, if I can just marry wife. but you're not seen. There's no authority. There's no leadership, but you won't marry. How? Amen? Because it takes leadership to carry somebody else responsibly to another phase of life. Let me leave that matter. But blind Bartimaeus had enough sense, because his head was correct, and he said, "Lord, that I might see." And the Lord said to him, "See." And he saw. But that's not the end of the story. Blind Bartimaeus wanted to go away. Said, "Bro, come back. See this healing you have received? It's going to mean nothing if I don't give you responsibility on top." Okay, some of you don't read to that portion of scripture. He was mandated by the healing that he had received to follow Jesus. Let me tell you something. You see, the anointing, having activated authority, brought you to a place of leadership. If you do not marry it with equilibrating responsibility, it becomes destructive. Hallelujah. It's not just all about, "Lord, anoint my head with oil." After the anointing comes, you must deploy the anointing to work. My time is up. I'll stop here. Rise to your feet this morning. There's gotta be more than this. 'Cause desperate people do desperate things. We are pressing in.
There's gotta be more than this. 'Cause I'm tired of the status quo. There's gotta be more than this. There's gotta be more. There's gotta be more than this. Desperate people do desperate things, and we press in. There's gotta be more. We are desperate people. We want more, Lord. Oh, we are desperate people. We want more, Lord.
And I want to speak over you. I don't know what it is that has been broken, is lost, is malfunctioning. This morning I want to speak over you and declare that as the anointing restores authority, restores leadership, restores you to the place of responsibility, the Egyptians that you saw yesterday, you will see them no more. The Lord, He will establish your feet upon your high places. He will teach your fingers to profit, indeed your hands to war. It will be said concerning you that the Lord truly has blessed you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.